This is the Pete and Kimber podcast.
Hello there. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
How are you going? You good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
How are you going?
I'm good. A couple more days until we're on holidays.
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah.
I mean,
you're still going to get lots of great stuff on the show.
Yeah.
Producer Kerrod.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing holidays.
Isn't he?
No, he's coming in here every day and playing the best bits of our show.
Oh, he's a good boy, isn't he?
Isn't he?
He's such a good egg.
So anything that you've missed, you'll get to catch up.
We're going to give you the heads up on what's coming up on the podcast very, very soon today. But by the way, there's a separate podcast you should go and check out. It's the phone call that sent all of our systems here into meltdown.
Are you okay? Why do you sound so sad?
I'm not sad. I'm okay. Look, if I'm honest, I'm distracted.
Your energy is really off. What's the matter?
I'm not sad. I'm distracted.
By what?
Somebody has put a KFC bucket, like a proper big KFC bucket, up for sale on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh.
And I'm waiting for them to get back to me.
Do you mean like one off the top of the store?
Yes. Yeah, like one of those.
Where are you going to put that?
I was thinking.
Over your house.
Could you imagine? Wouldn't that be wicked, having one of those spinning on the top of your house?
Some families get a basketball hoop and you get a KFC bucket.
That's so cool. Like, it's the proper big one.
What do they want? What's the going rate for a KFC bucket? Because that's hard. Normally on Marketplace, if I was selling something, like I was selling a chest of drawers for friends, and I went on and I was like, okay, well, what are other similar chest of drawers going for?
Yeah. There's no other similar, like, KFC buckets.
No.
But I think he wants this for both the things he's got. So it's the KFC bucket, and there's also a double-sided KFC sign, and he reckons he'll only sell them together, which, by the way, is a negotiation tactic. It's absolute bullshit. You're separating those two because you ain't selling that shit together.
But, really? But
yeah,
I think
God,
one of them won't sell without the other.
Nah, the bucket will sell.
Yeah, but he probably can't sell the sign. So if someone buys the bucket and leaves you with the sign, the sign's worth nothing.
Well, then that's on him.
But if you sell them both together, people are going, oh, I don't really want the sign, but I'm prepared to pay because I want the bucket.
$3,000? You're paying $3,000 for the bucket?
Mate, I don't even pay 15 bucks for the actual bucket.
This is what I mean.
I don't care about the bucket.
$3,000 he wants.
Yeah, but you'd pay that.
No, I wouldn't. That's too much because you got to go out to 2J to pick it up.
2J's a lovely drive now. It's only about 45 minutes.
Yeah, I know, but I've got to hire a truck as well.
Oh.
That's a couple of $100.
You can't just put it on top of the Everest?
I can't put it on top of the Everest. I can't. I'll damage the roof.
Oh.
I can't do that to my special girl.
No, you just get a drop sheet.
$3,000, mate. Honestly.
How long's it been up there?
He listed it a week ago. If he let it go for $1,000, I'd go and pick it up today.
Are you serious?
Yeah, legit.
You'd pay $1,000 for an old KFC bucket.
No, but hear me out. This is what I actually want to do with it, all right? I want to get it rebranded with our faces on it, and I want to stick it out the front of the station. Now, tell me honestly that that's not cool.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Ah.
I guess the real question is, would Speedy the boss pay $1,000 for the KFC bucket?
Rami or Kerrod, where's Speedy?
He's currently in a meeting at the moment.
How important is the meeting?
How badly do you need him?
With the other boss.
He's with the other boss.
Yeah, he's with
bosses. Which other boss? Steve. The one from Triple M? Oh, that boss.
Yeah.
Oh, he's with the big boss.
Well, yeah, but like...
What do you need from him?
Steve's friendly, so I reckon you could get them both in and see if you can play them against each other.
That is a great idea. I want money to buy a 2.2 metre high by 2.5 metre wide KFC bucket, and then I want to stick it up on a pole that spins out the front of the station and rebrand it with mine and Kimber's faces.
Didn't Hamish and Andy do that?
No,
just got the bucket spinning.
Yeah, that's all they did, out in a country town somewhere. I want to rebrand it with our faces and stick it out of the front of the station spinning.
My suggestion is that could you go and get Speedy and Steve, tell them we need them to join us briefly in here. We're going to come in, ask them, and then see how quickly they leave.
Okay, all right, they're just on their way now.
Okay.
Oh, hey, it's Boss Speedy here.
Hi, it's Mama's here.
Yeah, well, do you want some money?
You think that's good? Wait till I hear say so.
Yeah, Producer Kerrod's just told me what you want, and no, we don't have the budget for it, sorry, mate.
the, Yeah, the ratings, guys, the ratings.
Wow.
Sorry, guys, I really tried to convince him.
Wow.
There's a lot of legwork that went into that.
The runoff, guys, sorry.
That was amazing.
Wow. Okay.
That was amazing. So it was Waldorf and Statler out there.
If you're going to pay for it now, it's on you.
I'll buy it.
Garrett's voice was so good.
It was so good.
It was really good.
It was really, like, proper
good. I mean, Rami's was also really enjoyable, but Garrett's was like, I didn't recognize him.
You got a career in that, Garrett.
I have thought about doing voiceover.
Yeah, we know. We've been making you do hundreds of them on mix and not paying you.
For free.
Yeah. Okay, well, watch this space, Pete, because if someone else is prepared to pay, look, give it another week, and if it hasn't gone, we'll talk about it again.
You reckon?
Yeah, see what we can come up with.
I need to know.
Maybe
now.
Maybe we could talk to the actual Speedy.
We go on holidays.
And the actual week. Steve.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, here comes Speedy. Speedy, can
Get
we borrow
in.
You?
Come here. This is important.
He just rolled his eyes.
No. Okay. Here's the thing, right? He's gonna come in here.
It's all about the pitch.
He's gonna come in here.
Be careful how you do this. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. Blow this opportunity. Blow.
Okay. What do you want?
Once in a lifetime.
I'm gonna take my chance
in the moment
to blow you if that's what it takes to get this across the line. Apparently.
Okay, yep. Can you turn Speedy's mic on?
I did. He turned it off.
Go.
Hey. Now look. I am not pitching this for shits and giggles. I'm being legitimate when I say that I think this is a golden opportunity to create something special.
Okay.
And I even see it's something that people talk about when they drive down Roberts Road.
You
want
to speed this up?
Don't.
Come on.
Because the podcast's already been going for a
bit. When they drive down Roberts Road, people would beep and toot and they'd tell stories about it and all sorts of shit. It'd be like the 10-gallon hat that Range Ford Maddington used to have on top on Albany Highway.
Does this involve you getting naked?
No.
Okay.
No. If that's what it takes, I'll do it.
You want to hang out of the building or something?
No.
Sorry, I thought that was really complimentary that Speedy thought that anyone would notice you naked on our building from a distance.
Wow.
What? Drive don't by? Don't you think it's
What's
complimentary?
That? What are you trying to say there?
Because you're always saying it's small.
Pete, what do you want? Go.
Well, it is small. Oh, okay. There is a guy in 2J.
Yeah.
He is selling a KFC bucket, a proper one that you see on the signs that spin.
The old traditional on the top of the building bucket.
Here's my pitch. We get a spinning pole.
Mm-hmm.
We erect it outside Mix
94.5.
Mm-hmm. We rebrand it with our faces on it and get it to spin and light up and everything. And it becomes that amazing thing that people see on Roberts Road when they drive past.
Kimber, what do you think about this?
Look, I think it's a great idea.
See?
I'm concerned about the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said that I wanted him to pitch it to you guys.
This is why Kimber is the sensible one. In theory, that sounds like a really great idea. My mind goes to the cost to run that.
Yeah.
And to constantly maintain that would be huge.
Oh, wouldn't.
There's a reason why none of the KFC buckets spin anymore, because it became too expensive to maintain.
I should have just sent my dad up with some WD-40.
But the parts, it's always moving and the parts are always wearing down.
Yeah.
They were constantly changing the washers and the bolts. It was too hard.
Well, you sound like you worked for them.
It's not hard to think about it. It's an engineering thing.
Speedy, how much would you pay right now just for the bucket? Without the branding, without the, what do you think the offer would be on a traditional, original KFC bucket?
I bet it's something stupid. I wouldn't go any higher than 500.
But what do you think it is?
I reckon it's charging 2,000 to 3,000. Or something like that.
Oh, my God. Speedy knows the KFC bucket market.
Am I right?
It's $3,000.
$3,000. Yeah, because it's nostalgia.
Okay, what if I got him down to $500?
If you can get him down to $500, we will talk. We will talk.
Yes!
Okay?
Yes!
All right, but there's more to it than that, because it becomes a very big hindrance to maintain. And I'm already dealing with one big hindrance in this show. I don't need a bucket on top of that, okay?
All right. That's fine. I'll talk him around.
Thanks, Speedy. Right,
you're late for the meeting. Hurry up.
You're such a reasonable man. I think you're going to enjoy hearing the other part of the podcast back before we actually got you in. Oh, he's already left.
He's gone.
He lost interest in us really quick.
He's I'm out of here.
On the podcast today.
I've lost me sheets.
As Pete was saying at the top before he got distracted, if you came here listening because you wanted to hear Casey, our listener who said, women, you're the reason you can't get a boyfriend in your 40s. You're the reason. You're the problem. It's on a whole other podcast. It's on its own separate podcast because it was so fascinating.
Mm.
We put it on its own. It's also going to be in our show tomorrow if you happen to be listening, because we want to get your thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. We in the podcast, you can expect people to be talking about the emergency landings that they've gone through on planes and how creepy and scary it is. Mm-hmm. We did deal breaker dating with Lauren.
Oh, a little pocket rocket.
Little pocket rocket. Legend. She's got some dates on the way. We played yay or nay, and we bagged out the Irwins.
I didn't.
I did.
I know you did.
We talked about people who fake serious illness.
Yeah.
That was awful because we got way too many calls for that.
Yeah.
And we played You're Kidding Me, and we learned a thing or two about Chariots of Fire.
That's true. Yep. It's a very educational game, You're Kidding Me.
Yeah. So here you go. We'll let you know if the bucket goes anywhere.
When it goes somewhere.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. Nice morning to be heading out to the airport. This morning to hop on a flight?
People might be a bit less keen.
Are you talking about the story about this Melbourne to Perth flight that's happened?
I'm a little bit of a fussy air traveller in that when I'm flying, I like both engines to be in full operation. I like the plane to be functioning at 100%.
Mm. So a Qantas flight from Melbourne has landed in Perth, but not until after an engine had to be shut down following a large bang. Imagine that you're descending. When the plane descends, no matter where I am, when a plane is descending and I can start seeing the place we're about to be flying into, I start feeling good.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, because I start feeling like, all right, we're at the end of the flight. We've made it through all of that stuff safely. Hours on the plane. We're just about there. It's okay. We're gonna be good, guys. We're going to be good. So imagine when they're hearing something that sounds like a tire bursting, a massive bang, and then the pilot's coming over and going, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we've just had to shut down one of the engines. And also, we're also issuing a PAN call. Do you know what a PAN call is?
No.
Possible assistance needed.
Oh.
Mm.
Do they explain that, or do they just go, hopefully you know the chat. Nah, hopefully you understand what PAN means.
Possible assistance needed.
I mean, it is unnerving, isn't it? But they've obviously done a great job landing it. And they do say, look, the aircraft is designed to be able to fly with just the one engine and get you down safely.
Yeah.
And that's what they managed to achieve. But how long was it between the bang and the landing?
I reckon even if it's a few seconds, it's still feeling like the longest time of your life.
It's going to be longer than a few seconds, Pete. They've got to turn the thing around.
Oh, true. We've got audio here of some of the passengers that were on the flight and what they had to say.
Everyone was running, like the crew members. Then they were just a little bit of feeling trouble.
As soon as the crew seen the smoke, pilot sort of eased it up and
Opened up all the overhead cupboards to see if there was anything on fire in there.
It was pretty clear that something was wrong. The cabin was getting quite warm.
Have you been involved in an emergency landing this morning?
Oh.
All right, now proper involved. Have you been involved in an emergency landing? You're seeing things that they're talking about, right? Like maybe you've seen a bit of smoke. You can smell something that you shouldn't be smelling. The worst part would be not quite know what's going on, not quite seeing much other than stewards and stewardesses running up and down frantically.
Yeah, that's so unsettling.
Marie in Forestfield, coming back home from Lebanon, what happened?
Hi. So my brother and I was 17 at the time. We were sitting in the plane and we couldn't understand what the pilot was saying. And we've seen everybody run to one side of the plane and one of the engines had caught fire and we had to turn around and land. And the worst part was we had to wait for the same plane to get repaired and get back on it because it had no spare plane.
Oh, wow. How long are you waiting for that repair and the whole time just thinking, do we do this? Do we not do this?
But 5 hours. Like I said, I was 17. My brother was 16. And a good 20 minutes. We just had no idea what was going on the plane. We're like, what's wrong with everybody?
That's wild. It's the sort of thing where if you ever survived a plane crash, you're never getting on another plane again, are you?
I mean, yeah. And you're confident, though, that if they're fixing it, that they're going to fix every part of it.
Yeah.
Like they're properly going over it. And maybe that's getting more research than some of the other planes that haven't had a malfunction.
Maybe. Or maybe they just forget to have a look at the other engine. Lauren in Woodvale, very scary landing in Singapore. What was this emergency landing you were involved in? Tell us about it.
Hi, Pete. Hi, Kimber.
Hi.
Go on, Lauren. What do you got?
I was about 15 on a flight with my family to Singapore from Ireland. and we were landing, and all of a sudden the pilots, we had already touched the runway, and the pilot threw the plane back in the air. Everyone screamed, everything fell out of all the overhead lockers, and he came on as cool as a cucumber and said that there was a plane coming towards us taking off on the same runway.
Oh, Lauren! Wow, that's a ripper.
I mean, you expect that at the shopping centre. You're not expecting that on a runway.
Hey, Lauren, for something like that, do you if all your stuff's getting thrown around and you have like a horrendous experience like that, does the airline compensate you anything like that, or do they just say, sorry, that had to happen?
No, nothing at all that I remember. It was just, you know, the captain said, sorry about the inconvenience, but there was a plane coming towards us, so we're going to go around again and try and land again.
Wow. I mean, they might just sort of go, and if you'd like to sit and just watch your bags go around in that carousel, we'll send someone out for counselling. You can have a little chat with someone if you're prepared to stay back.
Our boss, Speedy, has a story for us. Hey, buddy.
Hi, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. was on a plane from Sydney to Perth, and a woman a couple of rows in front of me said that she needed some water from the flight attendant. And the flight attendant goes, that's all good, but you're going yellow. I think you're having a heart attack. The woman really played it down. No, I'm okay. Half an hour later, it turned into this massive medical episode. She started having a heart attack. They had to turn business class into an ER and move everybody out, literally resuscitating her in the aisle. We sharp turned into Adelaide. Paramedics ran onto the plane, got her off, and the worst part, I had to spend 24 hours in Adelaide. Unbelievable.
Pete and Kimber's Deal Breaker Dating.
So what is Deal Breaker Dating? Right, we're about to meet someone. We're going to get to know them a little bit. And then single blokes, single blokes, single blokes, it's your turn to call. We're going to fill the boards up. No obligation here, because when we come back, we're going to start hearing about some things that might be red flags. It's about dating as honestly and as openly as we possibly can. And if you hear something where you go, that's not for me, you just hang up the phone. Simple as that.
And, you know, I think that people feel like, you know, our mixed fam, you're a good bunch of people. So it's a good place to start, really, because, you know, while we can't completely vet you, we also know that, like, most of you are pretty good peeps.
Pretty good peeps.
Yeah.
Peeps. Time to meet another one. We've got Lauren from Bankshire Grove joining us for Deal Breaker Dating. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
Oh, are we on there, Pete?
Hang on a sec.
Push all the buttons.
Let's have another go. Hello?
Hello.
Okay. No,
nope.
Still nothing? What is going on here?
Here
I know what's happening, guys.
No, it's all right. I'm throwing her on another mic. You good?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
All right, that's on me.
It's all under control.
All right.
So let's start again. Hi, Lauren.
Hello. How are you?
We're great. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
What made you think, yeah, I'm up for Deal Breaker Dating?
Well, my previous history speaks for itself, really. I mean, I might as well give it a go, right? I mean, you know.
Love
it. All my girlfriends are going to be having a great laugh at me, you know.
Bit of a go-getter then, Lauren.
Absolutely, definitely.
Okay, love this. All right, well, look, let's tell people how Deal Breaker Dating works and then reveal a little bit about Lauren.
All right.
So, Lauren, you're from Bankshire Grove.
Yep.
Have you got a distance for dating? Are you sort of like, once they're out, too far?
I probably wouldn't go Rockingham area again. I've been there and done that. No.
Too long distance.
Too long a distance, definitely.
Okay.
I don't know.
Unless they're willing to do a lot of the driving.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Okay. Now, Lauren, you're 46 years of age and you are a pocket rocket.
Yep.
4'11".
Yeah. That's me. Yeah.
So you'd like someone who can help you get some things off the taller shelves.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's always handy.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Now, and you work in state government?
State government, yeah. I won't specify where.
No. But so do that get you a little bit of time off now and then? Not too bad.
Oh no, it's all right. It's pretty flexible. Yeah.
Okay. How long you been in state government for? A long time.
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. So you're really locked in, which means that you've got the good income coming in.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Are there many eligible bachelors floating around in state government?
Not that I'm aware of. If there were, I would know who they are.
Right. by name by the sounds.
Now, tell us, you love a bit about, you're a bit outdoorsy.
Yeah, I love camping. I go away with the ladies camping group once a month. Yeah, we go to all different places. Shout out to the girls in the ladies camping group, WA. Yeah, so just get out and about and explore some different places in WA. And it was a blessing with COVID to be able to do that and make some great friendships. And cool. It was women only. Children were invited. No men allowed.
Well, speaking of children, you do have a 24-year-old son.
Yep.
From a previous relationship.
Yep.
So that's all right. He's grown up, takes care of himself, I take it.
Yep. He's, might be asleep if he's done a night shift last night. So I'll try my best not to embarrass him on the radio, but he'll probably eye roll when he hears about that I've done this. So,
Something else I like the sound of Lauren about here. Your friends describe you as a party animal.
Yeah.
And you're often the last one standing on a dance floor.
Yeah, definitely. I love the sound of my own voice on a karaoke mic.
your song?
Bon Jovi. It would have to be anything Bon Jovi or Salt and Pepper, Push It.
Push It!
Yeah.
Lauren, you are just, I love this. There's so many layers to you. All right. Well, fellas, Lauren in Bankshire Grove, she's 46, a pocket rocket at 4'11". But there's plenty packed into a small package here, let me tell you. She works in state government. She loves the outdoors and camping trips. She likes to get amongst it. She's got a 24-year-old son, so he's already grown up. Don't worry about that. Lauren is often the last one on the dance floor, and she's a party animal. So let's see.
All right. It's time now to hear about the deal breakers. So this is the part where Lauren has been in a separate studio, all right, talking to producer Rami about all of the things that other people might find deal breakers. This is the most honest part. So if you are currently sitting on the line, listening to this, waiting to meet Lauren, this is the moment where if you hear something that you think to yourself, that's not quite for me, you can hang up the phone. It's as simple as that, and we'll see who's left after we go through all five of them. So here's deal breaker number one.
My last long-term relationship was in the 90s.
In the 90s?
In the 90s. What's happened since then?
I don't know.
Just no long-termers?
Nah.
Met a few people, but no one worth holding on to?
Yep.
I don't know. The last 23 years was such a party that you just can't even remember what happened to Lauren. Tornado Lauren.
All right. Well, everyone's still on the line.
Everyone's still there.
They're not worried about that.
All right, let's go with deal breaker number two.
I'm obsessed with Home and Away.
Home and Away.
Obsessed. You like a bit of a soap, a bit of a drama.
Yeah, totally. Somebody else's drama, not mine.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, there's some people on there who are quite happy with you watching Home and Away. No drama.
Yeah,
I don't care.
All right. Here's number three.
I'm a cat lady. I have two of them and I love them to pieces.
Oh, we're going to lose a couple here. Look, and I think it's fair to say not everyone loves a cat.
Totally.
You know? Yeah. But it's okay. No one else minds.
You say I'm a cat lady. That conjures up images of, you know, you've got a house full of cats. You'd like probably have somebody buried in the backyard.
She's only got two of them. What are your cats' names?
Willow and Misty.
Willow and Misty.
Yeah.
Seem like reasonable cats.
Reasonable cats.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's go for deal breaker number four.
I'm a one-eyed Mad Dockers supporter. Hang up now if you don't support Frio. Go Frio.
Okay, one down. You wouldn't even entertain the idea of having a little friendly rivalry with your partner.
I love rivalry, but he's got to like the Dockers. Otherwise, there's no chance of it ever working out.
Right. Okay. Well, there's still four on the line.
This is great.
Okay. Let's go with another deal breaker.
All right. Here's the fifth and final one.
I have been married once before for 7 weeks.
Okay, Lauren. 7 weeks?
7 weeks.
What happened?
I guess it just...
You didn't see the signs going into the marriage? Not before the wedding day or you just...
No, I didn't. It just...
Just changed.
Yeah. Did.
Wow.
What do you mean it just changed? 7 weeks. Like, did you know this bloke for a long time or was it a shotgun wedding?
No, we were together for 7 years.
Yeah.
And then we got married. Our boy was 3 when we got married. And just on the wedding night, it just all changed.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean? On the wedding night?
I don't know if she wants to keep talking about it.
Sorry, okay.
Yeah. Off air, Pete. Off air.
Sorry.
Can you not read the signals? You can't see the signs. She's sitting right in front of us.
I'm sorry, I didn't. Somebody needs to tell me before we're on the air when I hear something that piques my interest not to go there.
Well, I'll tell you what. There are 4 blokes on the line.
Cool.
That are keen to meet you, Lauren.
Okay, cool. Let's do this.
All right.
Rock and roll.
Okay. Hang on a sec. So we're going to connect you with one of these guys off the air, Lauren. We'll leave you to it. You've got your pick of the bunch. This is the best result we've ever had, by the way, Lauren.
Do I get all 4 or just 1?
If you want.
Yeah, you get all 4 of them.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Cool. Okay, let's do this.
Enjoy that.
All right.
Hope you have a great time. It's been a delight to meet you, Lauren.
Thanks for having me. I hope these work out for you. Thank you.
Hey, last week we were doing a phone topic unrelated to what we're about to talk about. But Bec called us up to dive in on this phone topic and told us this insane story about a friend of hers. Take a listen to this, Mix Fam.
My best friend was telling me that she was going through chemo for cancer and then my bank card was stolen. I went through the police and got CCTV footage of it. She actually stole $1,000 out of my bank account. But it gets worse. She wasn't actually going through chemo.
No.
Did she even have cancer?
No.
Just that there. Did she even have cancer? No.
Mm.
Now, there are some low things in this world, but for someone to fake having cancer, I don't even know how I would feel if it turned out to be a friend of mine that did something like that. I want to hear stories this morning because it's out there. I'm hearing more and more about it these days. Did someone you know fake an illness?
It's so tricky. Why is it tricky? I'm going to be honest with you. And this makes me feel uncomfortable because I absolutely understand there are people out there who lie about illnesses and things like that because they're trying to con people, right? And I know that exists.
Mm.
But also there's a portion of people out there who have factitious disorder, or which is basically mainly known as Munchausen syndrome.
It's a
mental disorder where basically the person feels a compulsion to lie about illness.
Really?
So they appear sick, they purposely get sick, or they do things to themselves to appear really unwell because they can't help it. Like, they know they're doing it to you and they know they shouldn't be doing it, but they can't stop themselves doing it. And there's no way of treating that condition. So people live with that their whole lives. And a friend of mine did that. And a friend of mine faked cancer for a long time.
And had you believing it as well?
Oh, of course.
You, everybody else.
Of course. I was totally on that journey with her. I totally believed
it.
But she has the disorder.
Wow.
And I don't, do you know what I mean? It was awful. It was awful because I go, it's not okay what she did.
Mm.
It was never okay. And you still feel total betrayal and it's still really painful and a terrible thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't excuse the behaviour, but I absolutely understood that, like, she was in a very unwell place mentally to be doing that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
And there's no pill that they can take to stop it. There's nothing, it's just in them. And it's a compulsion.
Context around Bec's mate, right, is that, like, she apparently did not have this compulsion, was not suffering with this, but fleeced her of a grand and everything else.
Yeah.
And but to in that case, fake cancer or fake an illness to that degree is serious. And it, like, incredible, like, absolutely incredible. Blows my mind anybody's got the wherewithal to be able to do something like that. But I am hearing stories more and more these days of it actually happening.
Yeah.
People getting desperate, resorting to those desperate measures. If you are someone listening to this right now who knows someone, has a friend or family member or something like that that faked an illness, we would love to hear your story this morning. Tell us what happened. What was the illness? What did they put you through? How far did they go to make you believe that they had this illness? And ultimately, when you found out, what happened there? And did you even bring it back? Like, I don't think I could ever bring myself back to having a friendship with a person who did something like that to me.
Oh, especially if you're being conned in that way, then, yeah, it's pretty... And you'll probably find most of those people leave your life anyway.
Yeah.
Because once they've got what they can, they go.
Tina and East Vic Parker's given us a call. Did someone fake an illness? Now, you worked with someone who had the disorder Kimber was talking about, Tina.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I actually worked with a lady who had Munchausen's and Munchausen's by proxy. So by proxy is where they make somebody that they're related to sick. So it started off that her son had an aneurysm of brain and was in an induced coma. And then it progressed to her then getting cancer. And whilst he was dealing with the cancer, unfortunately, her son passed away. And things just got a little bit weird for us at work because just a lot of things weren't adding up. Like she had this millionaire boyfriend over in South Africa that needed money and she was transferring money all the time and sending, you know, packages to him and just things weren't adding up. And then she came to work one day and was telling us a story how she was out with her grandson who she said was special needs and they were out for a walk one day and a gentleman on a bike was having a heart attack and she sort of saved the baby from being hit by this man on a bike while he was having a heart attack because he almost ran into the pram. And we were just like, well, that's a little bit weird. So one of the girls at work did a little bit of Facebook investigating and actually came across the fact that her son wasn't dead.
Oh, no.
Tina.
Boss, yeah. Well, my boss actually knew her ex-husband, so he made a phone call one day. Just said, hey, how you going? Checking in, you know, just want to see how everything's going because things here are a little bit weird and we just wanted to see, I know this is a really strange question, but is, you know, son Harry, is he still alive? And his first response was, oh, no, she's at it again. And
oh, wow. So he knew. He knew. Oh, goodness me.
It's so awful. It's such a strange condition. Like, how do you even...
Donna in Wanneroo. So this is someone who faked trying for IVF. What happened?
Yes. So I was friends with these people from high school. So this is straight after high school, so about 20 years ago. They've been through high school, you know, people that have got a good childhood kind of jump into relationships without thinking things through. Mm. They were mad, they were planning babies as soon as possible. They'd been trying for a baby for about 3 years. They weren't having any luck with it. They were, and then they started doing IVF. So like during that time, they're all stressed and upset and devastated. Oh no, pregnant. I'm not pregnant again. I've got my period. Cry, cry, cry. So then they start doing IVF, and back then, I don't know what it is now, but it was about $10,000 each time they would do a round of IVF. And so they did that, tried 3 rounds, and it wasn't working, and the hormones were making her crazy. She was really horrible, very hard to be friends at the time, but we all understood she was going through lots and lots of stuff.
Mm.
And then one day, we're all drinking, hanging out, and it turns out that she has a funny story. She's actually been on birth control the whole time. What? What's going on? Funny story, laughing hysterically. I'm not sure if I'm ready for a baby yet. I don't want to do to my kids what my parents to us. And we're all like,
Donna.
And her husband is just sitting there like, what? And he's like, sort of laughing like, she's joking. She's got to be joking.
So hang on, even the husband didn't know?
Even the husband didn't know. He was on the pill while they were trying for the baby and even on the pill while they were taking home the injections and doing the injections of the hormones. So her reasoning for being crazy, horrible, mean, it's the person picking fights with everyone all the time while she's having these hormone therapy, she was on the pill. Like, so all of us were going through this hormone drama with her and it wasn't even a thing.
That is insane. That is nuts.
And it's so hard because you are always going to be the supportive friend. You know, that's like, what are you supposed to do? It's not like you're going to doubt them. You're not sitting there going, I wonder who's making this up.
Are we going to get this person? There's an anonymous, there's someone who's asked to be anonymous here saying her mum pretended to have cancer.
Oof.
But they're not there anymore, boys. Are we going to try and get them back? What's the, Kerrod?
I think we're good to go.
Oh, no, we're good to go. Oh, okay. Hang on a sec. So they've asked for the voice disguiser as well, so... Just going to make sure that this voice disguiser is working. Anonymous, can you just say hello for us?
Hello.
Okay, voice disguiser is working. So talk to us about this. Your mum pretended to have cancer.
Yeah, and she was asking money to help pay for, you know, like medical bills and this and that. And it was, she there's a lot. I'm not sure where to unpack it here. So my mum pretended he has cancer to more or less get money from people for treatment, and would just hardly the laugh out.
How long did that go on for?
Oh, a couple of years. I remember being in primary school and we were going to the shops and she put these bandages on her face. And I'm thinking, you don't even have acne. Why are you covering your face? But I later found out that she was worried that she was being followed or investigated or something. And I'm thinking, why would they investigate you? You're just a mother going about your day. Later found out that she was getting money to supposedly pay for treatment. And,
far out.
Did that affect your relationship when you realised what was going on? As an older person, has that been something that affected that entire thing?
Children love them, so they put them on a pedestal and they can do nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So I didn't know much better at the time, but as an adult, I just think, like, that's fairly ballsy. That's another level of confidence and self-worth and entitlement.
And so no, like, mental disorder here or mental illness about this, no Munchausen syndrome or anything. This was your mum just proper faking having cancer.
Yeah. And we weren't really, no alarm bells were ticking until she started saying she was being investigated and there's people across the street watching her. And it's like, mate, they're just outside having a smoke. They're not stalking you. Like, how highly do you think of yourself?
Hey, are you happy to? I'm just gonna pop you on hold, anonymous. Pass you back to the producers. Are you happy for us to give you a buzz later after the show, and have a bit of a longer chat with you about this?
Yeah.
All right. We'll record it and bring it back to the show tomorrow.
Pete and Kimber's yay or nay.
Hello, Rami.
Morning.
Hi.
Yay and nay. Got three topics for you in 3 seconds to make up your mind. I'll be ready.
Yes.
First one, the Irwins are a bit much.
3, 2, 1.
Yay.
Nay.
Oh.
No, nay.
Kimber, you've gone with the majority here.
I do feel they're a bit much, but only from the perspective is I would like to see a little more nitty gritty about them. I'd like to see a bit more dirt.
A bit more realness.
They have had to work since they were little and they know how to put on a public persona. I would like to see something outside of that.
Yeah.
I don't know about work. They play with animals all day. Like, that's
mate,
they're having a great fun.
That's a job.
What if there's no grit there, though? That's the thing. What if they are just vanilla and they've always been vanilla and they're just happy being vanilla?
I feel like those kids are getting around like a couple of Stepford wives.
Yes.
I'm waiting for, like, if you just accidentally pour water on them, they're going to short circuit.
Yeah. Bright-eyed, bright smile, everything's fine in life. I'm always happy.
Yeah, but hey, let's be completely honest. Like, they have had, the kids have had a good, fun life for a set of kids, right? Like, bar losing dad, which is a tragedy, right? They've had a good life. They've been well looked after. They get to hang out with the animals. They've had something very different and a lot of adventure.
I hope they are that happy every day. I just think
doubt it.
Their heads might start spinning if we watch for a little longer.
Yeah. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here at the moment. Just keep a real close eye on what's happening with Bobby. Little Bob.
Can't stand him.
I don't think he likes to be called Bob.
Doesn't he?
I think he's Robert.
Yeah,
Bob. He's very strictly a Robert.
Oh, that's right, because he's carving his own path.
That's how we make his head spin.
Bob.
There you go. Second one, bald people are unattractive.
3, 2, 1.
Nay.
Nay. Mm. All right, interesting one, because about half an hour ago, I was going to get audio and I forgot, so I apologize about that. But half an hour ago, Kimber, you said that we were talking about doing a break about attractiveness and how hair has a lot to do with how attractive you are. So what about if you're bald?
Oh, no, I think that hair has a lot to do with how attractive you are because hair is one of the first thing that people notice about you. I think that hair, so if you're bald, I don't think it makes you unattractive by any means.
It's your eyebrow hair.
I think it's just that, like, people will notice that you're bald straight away. I just think it's the first thing people notice.
I think there's bald and there's balding. You know what I mean? Like if you're
balding, shave it off.
Yeah. Get rid of it or get a toupee or something. Sort it out. But if you're bald, I mean, look, Jason Statham's and you. That's the only Vin one I can Diesel. Think of. Jason Statham.
Yeah.
Is Vin Diesel and Jason Statham the same dude?
Same person.
Sometimes, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, now the same person. Yeah. And final one, cleaning your phone should be normalised.
3, 2, 1.
I should just clarify, cleaning your phone as in the exterior of your phone, not the data.
Yay. I think yay. Yay's a, but I'd never do it. Even if I'd just never look at this. Look at this crusty, disgusting. Look at that. Look at the amount of crap in that phone, in the back of it, between the case and the phone.
I used to do it on the reg, but that was when we were here at work, and we used to have these cool little alcohol wipes that were lying around, and then we got cheap and we stopped buying them. And since they've been gone, I haven't cleaned my phone ever again.
No, we haven't stopped buying them. I've been taking them home and sucking on them because it's just too expensive to buy alcohol these days. So. What were you going to say? You were going to say something?
I was going to say, one of my mates over the weekend, he revealed to us that he cleans his phone every couple of days with vinegar.
Yeah. Vinegar's a cleaning agent. It's good, mate. Dump your vinegar down everything.
You're walking around with your iPhone and he actually puts it under the tap as well and gives it a rinse.
Well, that's a bit weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a bit weird.
I mean, you know, you just mentioned yesterday that you take your phone into the toilet with you and there's poo particles all over
it. No, I didn't.
So maybe the vinegar is a good idea.
Was it on the air?
Yes, it was.
Then I must have said it then.
I love this game. Oh my God, look who it is, Pete. It's producer Carriage.
Thank you, Kimber, and I saw what you were trying to do there. You were trying to hurry Pete up or else he would have been playing with that whip all day.
Carriage, it's lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you too, Kimber. Somewhat lovely to see you too, Pete. Hey, it is time for You Kidding Me, guys. Now, this is favourite moment of the week. Basically, what I've done is I've made up three montages from three different years. You guys need to try and guess what the year is. Kimber, you currently lead Pete by 4 points. It's 5-9.
Yeah, that happened.
Oh, what I did is I beat you 4 more times.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Let's go.
The math adds up. Let's hit the first one.
New twist in the case of Oscar Pistorius, the Olympian facing a murder charge in South Africa.
I'm going to do the thing that God put Ron Burgundy on this earth to do. Have salon quality hair and read the news. It's like I'm a mirror.
Great song.
Great song.
I love Justin Timberlake.
Great movie.
Great movie.
Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy. You know, there was a time where all we would do was hang around and just yell Anchorman quotes at each other.
Yeah.
That's all we'd do.
Well, what time?
I love lamp.
What year was the time that we were doing that? Kimber has given me an answer.
Whenever you're ready, Pete.
No, I'm just trying to figure out because we had... I'm going to go 2010.
Okay.
2010 because I was at uni and in the Curtin Commerce Club room.
I don't care. No one cares.
Welcome, Kerrod. This is the way we have to speak to Pete. And do you know what? If anyone out there is listening thinking we don't respect Pete, that's not true.
It's just true.
It's just like having a naughty child. Sometimes you have to deal with them. I went 2012.
Yes, you did.
Don't respect me.
Pete, you said 2010. Kim, you said 2012. Yeah. It's 2013.
Oh,
Kim takes the first points.
That is a lie.
That's Anchorman 2. That's not the first Anchorman. That's Anchorman 2.
Well, you didn't specify that, did you?
Did you ask?
No, you're right. I didn't ask.
The New York Times calls it rousing and invigorating. Chariots of Fire.
Never before have sent a spacecraft into orbit that is going to come down as a plane, landing essentially as a glider, a powerless glider.
So just making it back to my desk off the drum kit. Oh, Kimber's given me an answer.
Yeah, that's how the game works. We give you an answer straight
now,
after
I remember
you.
Back in the day mate, when
I'm sorry that you were there at the time.
I don't think it's easy for you. But
yes, you were.
I might have gone a bit early, but we'll
see. I reckon you've gone early. I'm going to go with 1983.
You might do well here because I went 81.
Too
yes,
early.
Yes, you did, Kimber.
Too early.
You reckon it's too early?
I reckon it's too early. It is absolutely too early. Chariots of Fire.
In the Air Tonight, I thought was later, but I did think Chariots of Fire was early.
Okay. Well, it might have been a case that... In the Air Tonight was a single and then released as an album on an album later.
I don't care. Would you get on with it?
Well, I need to stretch this out as long as possible because Kimber's won the second one, which means she takes out this week. Hey! You're kidding me again.
Was it 1981?
It was 1981.
Good for you, mate.
That's very well done, Kimber.
Well done. Thank you.
I didn't realise this was Kimber's winning music. I thought it was Britney Spears' Toxic.
It's Chariots of Fire.
When I win, we play my song.
I didn't have it.
Oh, you weren't prepared.
I wasn't prepared.
That's surprising, that's given you. That I'm now 5 ahead of you. You should have it ready next week.
Wow. Boom. The sass on you. Just because you're 5 points ahead.
Congratulations.
It's been a delight.
Thank you, Kimber. Always a delight. Pete, thank you.
Yeah, I'm halfway there, mate. The Pete and Kimber Podcast.